Show me your ways, O Lord, and teach me your paths. Lead me in your truth and teach me, for you are the God of my salvation. In you have I trusted all the day long.
That was my twin sister chanting Psalm 25, verses 3 through 8 for her virtual choir at St. Michael's Episcopal Church in Raleigh, North Carolina. I hope that you are able to give thanks, or even that you are working to give thanks to our God, especially in this pandemic, finding blessings even in this pandemic. We have an affirmation of faith that we share each time here at Daleville Christian Church. And today's is from 2 Thessalonians in the second chapter. We ought always to thank God for you, brothers and sisters loved by the Lord, because God chose you as first fruits to be saved through the sanctifying work of the Spirit and through belief in the truth. He called you to this through our gospel, that you might share in the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Our reading from God's Word today is from 1 Thessalonians in the 5th chapter. It'll sound very familiar. And we urge you, brothers and sisters, warn those who are idle and disruptive, encourage the disheartened, help the weak, be patient with everyone. Make sure that nobody pays back wrong for wrong, but always strive to do what is good for each other and for everyone else. Rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Do not quench the Spirit. Do not treat prophecies with contempt, but test them all. Hold on to what is good. Reject every kind of evil. May God Himself, the God of peace, sanctify you through and through. May your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. The one who calls you is faithful, and he will do it. May the Lord add his blessing to this reading of his holy word. I can first ask for forgiveness as we look at this Bible verse today from 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. I ask your forgiveness because this is not my strong point. Give thanks in all circumstances? Really, Lord? Lord, may I skip some thanksgivings this morning since a lot of the apple crop was lost in the freeze last spring? I'll tell you of another time I couldn't give thanks until much, much later in my life. It's part of today's sermon. The Apostle Paul begins this letter of 1 Thessalonians. Verse 5, we always thank God for all of you and continually mention you in our prayers. Hear that again. We always thank God for all of you and continually mention you in our prayers. You know what that means? Paul is also grateful for the shirkers and the doubters and the backsliders and the heretics in that church. What? You don't think those people were in that congregation? You haven't read the New Testament, have you? Verse 5, chapter 1 of 1 Thessalonians, we always thank God for all of you and continually mention you in our prayers. You know that Paul was Jewish, a Pharisee, knowledgeable in God's word. Not everyone in Paul's congregations knew God's word, the Bible, what would have been back then the Old Testament portion of the Bible. Paul could well have the Psalms in mind when he said, give thanks. We always give thanks for all of you. Psalm 107 begins, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. Repeats that several times within the Psalm 107. 107:15, let them give thanks to the Lord for his unfailing love and his wonderful deeds for mankind. The first occurrence of giving thanks, using those words, occurs in Psalm 7. Psalm 7:17, I will give thanks to the Lord. I will give thanks to the Lord because of his righteousness. I will sing the praises of the name of the Lord Most High. Now, interpreters are split on the interpretation, giving praise or giving thanks. Both words are acceptable understandings of the Hebrew words. Psalm 118, I will give you thanks for you answered me, you have become my salvation. Psalm 7:17, I will give thanks to the Lord because of his righteousness. The Apostle Paul knew the Psalms. Some of the believers in Thessalonica were Jews, and some of the Greeks in Thessalonica had attended the synagogue. They would have heard these words of Paul as being similar to the words of the Psalms that they had heard. But to the other Gentiles in the churches of Thessalonica, this whole Thanksgiving idea might have been a new one. But the Apostle Paul states in his letters more than once, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Here are some of the other apostles' writings. Ephesians 5:20, always give thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Romans 15, and again, praise the Lord, all you Gentiles. Let all the peoples extol him. He leads his second letter to the Corinthians, chapter 1, verse 3, with praise. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort. I want to share a letter that I read. I belong to several mental health resource groups. This letter came through one of those. It was written January 15th, 2020, so it was written before the pandemic hit this country. Here's what the person said. After dealing with depression for what feels like forever, I've done a lot of reading about how to get through it. I've read what mindset shifts I need to make, what thought patterns I need to change, and what negative thoughts don't serve me and should be left behind. One thing I've noticed is a lot of places will tell you one of the keys to working through depression is to have gratitude. Especially with the new year just starting and lots of people reflecting on what last year looked like for them, there's a lot on social media about gratitude. The person went on to say that there are things that they are grateful for, but that they are still very depressed. I have the feeling that I've read many of the resources this person has read, but being grateful is only one thing. One book I read stated there were at least 7 things that a person needed to do to help themselves through depression. The person who wrote the letter did not claim to be religious, did not write about faith, and yet the book I read with 7 things to do wasn't a book about faith either, but it insisted that everyone include prayer and faith in their lives for healing. This next passage from God's Word I want to share is a part of Israel's history. It talks about King Jehoshaphat. However, historians are not quite sure what to do with these scriptures. They don't seem to fit in with King Jehoshaphat of Judah. King Jehoshaphat, according to the Bible, he was a mixed bag. Although King Jehoshaphat was at peace with his cousins in the northern kingdom of Israel, it isn't clear at what cost that peace was purchased. Jehoshaphat appears to be the weaker ruler of the two and not a very good champion of the Lord God. The way Jehoshaphat makes plans and allies himself with the king of Israel, who is clearly depicted as unfaithful to God. The Bible is even sure to tell us of Jehoshaphat's failures, 1 Kings chapters 22. About Jehoshaphat's dad, King Asa, the Bible says, Asa's heart was fully committed to the Lord all his life. The Bible does not say that about Asa's son, King Jehoshaphat. That silence is pretty loud. However, this report in 2 Chronicles shows us Jehoshaphat in the best light, which might be the reason that it's even in the Bible, and it is instructive for us. Some of you know my interest in military topics and my interest in all things military in the Bible. 2 Chronicles chapter 20. The prophet said to the king, it's King Jehoshaphat, this is what the Lord says to you, King Jehoshaphat, do not be afraid or discouraged because of this vast army, for the battle is not yours, but God's. You're going up against a bigger army, but don't be afraid or discouraged. And you know what the king did? Do you know who he put in the front line to lead the army to battle? The choir. I don't know about you, but I might have thought about sending chariots in first if I had any. I don't think that I've seen any modern-day choir that I would want to lead any of my armies into battle. But Judah's King Jehoshaphat did just that. And this is what the singers sang as they went out at the head of the army, singing, "Give thanks to the Lord, for his love endures forever." Give thanks. And yes, you guessed right, the army of Judah and Judah's King Jehoshaphat won the battle that day. Now, mind you, pay attention to the details. Jehoshaphat didn't send the choir out by themselves, okay? King Jehoshaphat didn't send the choir out by themselves. Can you remember that? The choir was in the front line of the whole Judean army. But the whole army was there with weapons and armor, and the choir led them. Yes, as God said through the prophet to the king, the battle was the Lord's. But Judah's army had to get their weapons and get their armor out and march toward the enemy dressed for battle. You and I cannot pray and just expect the Lord to take care of things. We might have to get our tools and our work clothes on and get out on the job that we prayed about. Remember the young woman I told you about who had cancer? She led with prayer, but she did have brain surgery, and she had the cancer treatment. It wasn't praise and prayer alone. See what I'm saying? She led with the choir, but she brought the whole medical army with her to the fight. So notice, even if you are assured of victory, and especially if you're not assured of victory, you lead with your praise and thanksgiving. Get your choir out in front of you and thank God. And do take your army with you. And what if your battle doesn't go well? Well, it's like the prophet Habakkuk said, though the fig tree does not bud, and there are no grapes on the vines, though the olive crop fails and the fields produce no food, though there are no sheep in the pen and no cattle in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. That, the prophet Habakkuk knows, is leading with your choir. Now I remind you, lead with your choir, but don't leave your army behind in their tents. Even if your crops fail, lead with your choir, but don't leave your tools out to rust. Don't skip maintenance on your tools. That depressed person whose letter I read, notice that the person was grateful and still depressed. In a pandemic, we are in one right now, in a pandemic, it's especially important to remember what our God has already done for us. Then we can give thanks for what God did in the past while we remember it in the present. I did this recently. I was thinking of some difficult moments in my life. I wrote them down, and I was seeing our Lord there in every one of them. Now, in some cases, I was too young or too immature at the time these things happened to truly understand what that meant. It made sense to me, talk with God, pray, God answers prayer. So in those difficult moments, I prayed and I received answers to those prayers, maybe not immediately, but I later figured it out. Like the day I got my rejection letter from one seminary that I had applied to. That really made no sense to me. I knew one other guy, a friend of mine, who had already gotten into the same seminary whose rejection letter I had in my hand. I had better grades than my friend and better graduate test scores than my friend did. But he was in and I wasn't. What was that all about? I had some exploring to do. Come to find out, through no fault of my own, my ducks were not all lined up for that seminary to take me in. I thought my ducks looked great, and my ducks did look great, but some of those ducks had not shown up with my application. But instead of reapplying with all my ducks, which I'm not even sure that I could have done, I accepted my wandering ducks as the hand of the Lord, easing my ducks into the rushes where they could not be seen. But in the moment that I read the rejection letter, I was crushed. And it wasn't just my friend going to that seminary, it was four other people in my class that were going to that same seminary. All accepted. Me, not accepted. Me, rejected. Now back then, I could tell the Lord that it really hurt. Back when it happened, even while the Lord now reminds me that the Lord was with me in that rejection letter. You know, before this week, I had never heard of David Meltzer. Come to find out that David Meltzer is a business owner, a business founder, and an entrepreneur. David Meltzer gives a talk entitled, David Meltzer, How Giving Thanks Can Transform Your Life. Well, I was never going to claim, and I'm not claiming now, that Thanksgiving will change your life. I would claim that Thanksgiving can renew your mind. Yes. To me, Jesus transforms your life, and gratitude and thanksgiving are a part of the renewal of that life, as the Apostle Paul states clearly. I have read, I don't know how many blogs, books, and presentations that make it clear that if you want to feel better, you must practice gratitude and thanksgiving. Wow, the Bible got it right again. I was at the library this week, and I always browse the new book section. I picked up a book entitled Rethinking Success, 8 Essential Practices for Finding Meaning in Work and Life by J. Douglas Holliday. Who is J. Douglas Holliday, you wonder? He teaches as a Master's of Business Administration professor at the Georgetown University School of Business. And if you knew about Georgetown University School of Business, you would bow a little bit like I'm doing at the mention of the school's name. This man is an equities investor. He has worked for Goldman Sachs. I couldn't even discover if he was a man of faith, but that doesn't matter. Why? Because chapter 4 of this man's book on success, chapter 4, make gratitude a regular practice. Chapter 4, right in the middle of the book. It has its own chapter. Giving thanks is not an afterthought. Make gratitude a regular practice. This man, a faithful man or not, insists on the truth of the Bible. Give thanks. You and I give thanks to God. How many times are we encouraged to praise the Lord, give thanks to the Lord, using the intensive forms of that verb in Hebrew? Psalm 106, praise the Lord, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, his love endures forever. Who can proclaim the mighty acts of the Lord or fully declare his praise? The psalm is asking or suggesting that God is so giving and loving, we are not able. Who can? No one can fully express the praise that God is due because of God's wonderfulness to us. So even if we cannot fully express this thanks, doesn't mean we should stop trying. Probably why the apostle says just give thanks continuously in all circumstances. There is a good chance that there's something for you to do in response to your own prayers. You know, have your army go with your choir. The many years ago when it hurt so much to get that rejection letter, I accepted that seminary's rejection as being arranged by the Lord. I accepted that rejection as being God's move after I found out how it happened. The Lord had rearranged my ducks, and I thought I had all those ducks all lined up just right on my seminary application. I accepted it as God's will and have since been able to thank God. Some days when it's hard to see what the Lord is doing for us, it becomes more important that you and I focus on what the Lord has already done for us. And then it's important for us to focus on what you can do, not what you can't do. I took my own advice this week. I was out running errands and I said to myself, well, I can't do this and I can't do that. That isn't open. I don't know what the hours are there today. The recycling center was closed and it said, call this number. I called the number, nobody answered, and it didn't ask me to leave a message. So I'm driving around town, just me and a carload of recyclable materials. And I said to myself, well, I can go running. That didn't cheer me up any more than it might cheer you up. But it was a reminder that there are things I can do even in a pandemic with restrictions. I saw an article about a high school student who was making desks for himself for students who were homeschooling at home. See, that's what that high school student could do in a pandemic to help others in a pandemic. Yes, that student's probably tired of wearing a mask, but rather than join a protest, he's making desks for other kids schooling at home. We're not programmed to feel good while we're feeling irritable, fatigue, or weariness. And we shouldn't expect ourselves to feel good. I'd be surprised if anyone can have all good days during a pandemic. A bad day in a pandemic is probably worse than your typical bad day, but you don't have to let it ruin your day or your week or any relationships. Focus on finding endurance and strength in your pandemic fatigue. Find things to savor or be grateful about throughout the day. Chapter 4 of Holiday's book, make gratitude a regular practice. Psalm 106, Psalm 100, give thanks to the Lord. Praise the Lord for his marvelous deeds. By practicing these tips, you can build up the mental and emotional resources to help you get through the hard stuff. And in doing this, you might create a state of well-being. Now, I don't claim to be good at this Thanksgiving in all circumstances thing. That's why I'm preaching about it. Maybe here are some other translations of our Bible verse of the week. In everything, give thanks. Give thanks in every situation, because this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Whatever happens, always be thankful. This is how God wants you to live in Christ Jesus. No matter what happens, always be thankful. For this is God's will for you who belong to Christ Jesus. Finally, if you can't be grateful for the present time, remember to be grateful today for what our Lord has already done for you in the past. Give thanks to the Lord. Amen.